is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to the Monday edition of VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. He's our closer, Jensen Lewis, still deep in the heart of Georgia, but getting ready to go back to Cleveland. Jay Lou, how was the weekend, my friend? I know it's tough when you got a lot of double dips you got to do. You're out of town, but I'm sure it's been a fun weekend, but it's a lot of work too.
It's good to be on the way home. And the theme here from yesterday, the Devils came down to Georgia and stole a role. Duke is moving on to Super Regionals. It was a hell of an atmosphere down here. I got to tell you, the last time, Dave, I think I told you the story when I had been here, was my sophomore year when I was pitching at Vanderbilt all the way back in 2004. And, you know, my oh my, how the facilities have changed mm-hmm. and all the money that's been poured into this particular spot. But we have so much chaos. Ooh. I mean, if there is a March Madness equivalent in college baseball, what's happened over the weekend in the entire field of 64 is exactly that. So many national seeds have been bounced. Yes, my alma mater, too. I mean, just I don't even know if I'm ready to talk about it. Texas is out. I mean, there's so much chaos right now in the bracket, but that's going to set up for a heck of a weekend coming up for Super Regionals.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up that Vandy got knocked out there, but we will get to all of those things as the show goes on. We do have a great one lined up here on this Monday edition. We're going to continue our schedule breakdown here for every team in the NFL. We'll get to the Motor City Kitties coming up for the guys in Detroit. So I hope Derek Stevens is watching this morning here. We'll talk about his Lions and whether or not there's actually regression coming in Motown this year. We'll discuss that. The great Will Hill is going to join us from Connecticut, the king of Connecticut, to kick off hour number three. We got to wait a little bit, Jensen, here to get to Pacers and Thunders to talk about all those series numbers and how big a number it is in game one in OKC coming up on Thursday. Rachel Dory is going to help us break down the Panthers and Oilers north of the border as we get ready for that one on Wednesday. That is going to be in Edmonton in game one. And then Danny Kloppinger is going to join us here to round out the show to talk all things tennis going on in Paris right now on the red clay of Roland Garros. So we'll get to all of that as the show goes, and we had more history that we'll get to right now at the Memorial. So without further ado, let's get to it, our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
In LA, it was a repeat of last year's World Series, and all of a sudden for the Yanks, and you're like, does this really matter at the end of May? And then we possibly could see you again in October. You didn't want to get swept, right? And it looked like the Yankees were headed for a sweep here, but they avoided by beating Yamamoto 7-3. Yankees salvaged the last of this three-game series here. Wasn't easy, tied up at one. Yamamoto pitching around Judge, something we'll get to here, Jensen. And that kind of set off a big inning for the Yanks to avoid this sweep with that 7-3 win. Before we get into the particulars of what Aaron Judge is doing and why pitching around him, pitching to him, whether or not these things managers are going to have to decide, how important was it for the Yanks to at least get one in this series?
Yeah, just a psychological thing too, right? I mean, you always want to know that you're equal to the task against the best teams in all of baseball. And, you know, this is kind of one of those situations that, you know, you didn't play well in the first two games, so you want at least atone for getting blown out on Saturday night. And you do it against a guy who's had a sensational season thus far in Yoshi Yamamoto, just 3 2/3. You know, very uncharacteristic of the season that he's put together thus far. And so they win 7-3. I think more importantly, it's just knowing that you have that opportunity, that when you do get blown out, you find a way back, you're able to get off the mat. And this is a Yankee team that has kind of shown that resiliency, Dave, for most of this season. So good out of that, but also a prevailing sentiment. You and I have talked about it a lot here. If you're a Dodger backer, you know, the rotation issues have been well documented since. I mean, they have basically an entire rotation already on the injured list. And they're going to need guys like Yamamoto to be consistent down Just a little blip in the radar here. Think about the season high 7 hits that he gave up, walk 3, just 2 strikeouts. That probably is the number that sticks out the most to you. Just he's used to generating a bit more swing and miss than that.
Okay, so, and I want to get into the nuance of this a little bit with you here as a pitcher and get your thoughts on this, because again, game's tied up at 1. Yamamoto pitches around Aaron Judge, if you will, gets ahead of Ben Rice, 0-2 count, boom, gives up a missile. All of a sudden, a 1-1 game is 3-1, right? DJ LeMahieu, by the way, 4 hits, hadn't done that in a while as well. So maybe getting something back from LeMahieu. But, you know, in Top Gun, which we like to quote, the encounter was a success. But I think we've shown this as an example of what not to do. Yes, the Yankees win. But, like, and we'll talk about it with Will Hill, too, because I've talked about it with Will for years now when it comes to Aaron Judge. Like, is that the right strategy that Dave Roberts did? Like, if you get beat by Ben Rice on an 0-2 count, and Yamamoto can't, not only can you not get him out, he gives up a bomb. Like, you'd rather live with that, wouldn't you, if you're facing Judge, let's say in late September, October, for those playoff decisions? Or do you say, no, 1-1 game, nobody on, go get him?
Yeah, 100%. And that's kind of where you saw with the Angels series, where Ron Washington, too, just said, forget it, big boy. I'm putting you on, and I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm not going to lose sleep about it. So I think that's and you know, you've seen now with what Juan Soto and Aaron Judge's dynamic was with the Yankees last year, and it was the pick your poison. It was one of those guys was going to beat you, and that's why they were so good. Those two behemoths could carry them. And I think that was the ultimate question we asked this year is, okay, Judge is going to get his no matter what. How many opportunities, though, are you going to allow that to transpire, especially in big-time games and in big-time series? And you made the perfect allusion to, okay, you get down to September, you get into October, absolutely you want to have a Ben Rice or someone behind Aaron Judge have to beat you, because that's the name of the game. You never, ever want to get beat by the stud. And the way the Judge is off to another historic start, no reason to try and pitch to him in those situations.
Right now, to win the World Series, Dodgers are plus 280. Scotty Scheffler-like numbers. We'll get to him in a second. Yankees are plus 550, Jensen. And then you get to the Mets at 8-1, Phillies at 850, Tigers 850 as well. Those are the last of the single digits before the Cubs at 15-1. Are we sitting here going, man, I should grab Yankees at plus 550 now? Because if I don't have that ticket in pocket now, that number's going to shrink by the time I get to October?
I think now, if you feel that, you know, the Yankees start to run away, and I still have a little trepidation about that and just knowing that there are going to be some regression to the mean as far as their offense and the back end. I mean, they have been, Dave, that's probably the most surprising part about the Yankees this year. You lose Juan Soto, but the offense altogether statistically has been better. And you're like, whoa, okay, well, the sum of the parts is all of a sudden producing way better than just the two towers, if you will. Can that continue for the body of work of an entire regular season and, more importantly, into this postseason? This is why you and I have done the exercise with people of saying, okay, in the American League, so much parity, right? So many teams that we feel you could make an argument that not only can get in their side of the bracket, but could potentially get hot at the right time and come out of it. And I wonder what this trade deadline looks like for these contenders. And you talk about the Yankees. We know the Tigers have been off to a historically good start in their franchise history. The Astros coming on strong after losing Tucker and Bregman. That number will be fascinating to see where the Astros are. We kind of told you, like, if you want to jump in on them to make the playoffs, they were, you know, what, plus 115, plus 120, you know, a couple of weeks ago. They ascend to the top of the American League West. And I just think there are a lot of opportunities here for multiple teams. So if you feel the Yankees just get on a hot streak and don't come back to earth, jumping on 550 would be the way to go. But I might wait a little bit. I think there's going to be some regression here for a couple of teams atop the American League.
The Yankees kind of represent Rory McIlroy numbers in the betting market, and the Dodgers at plus 280 represent Scotty Scheffler betting numbers in the betting market, right, for the Dodgers to win the World Series. Remember, it wasn't that long ago, Jensen, Scotty Scheffler had not won in the calendar year. Now he's won three of the last four times he's teed it up. He repeats at Jack's Place, wins the Memorial going away. Ben Griffin did push him. Ben's playing great golf as well. But it's Scottie Scheffler. Again, second straight Memorial here. We hadn't seen that since some guy named Tiger Woods won this at this place three times in a row. Only Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods have had more defenses now. He's now had three successful PGA Tour title defenses. Only those two guys have done that more, Phil and Tiger, in the last 30 years. I mean, Jensen, every time he wins, it feels like there's more history. And now you're starting to hear it. Tiger, Scotty, those comparisons are starting to come out, Jensen. And I got to be honest, as an old guy here, I'm not mad at those comparisons, right? It looks completely different. We get that. It doesn't look the same as dominant and as soul-crushing as Tiger could be out there in the PGA Tour. Scotty's getting it done. It's just like it's that kind of walk softly, carry a big stick thing that Scotty's doing.
I agree. And I'm with you. And if you put me in the old man territory, I'm okay with that. Because remember running home after practices right. on Sundays and Sunday afternoons looking for Tiger Red and, you know, waiting to see, you know, how many strokes he'd win tournaments and majors by. So just knowing the pedigree and the respect level that Scotty has, like you just ask. Okay, every week, it doesn't matter. It's Scottie Scheffler. He's the guy to beat. Very fascinated to see what this dynamic looks like coming into Oakmont, my friend. We have got a guy that now all of a sudden feels like he's hitting on all cylinders. Can't wait to see what that number closes at for him as the favorite.
It is amazing. He's plus 280 right now to win at Oakmont in 2 weeks at the U.S. Open. Plus 280. It's insane. And Rory McIlroy is the second betting choice at plus 650. That's why that Dodger-Yankee analogy works with Scotty and Rory right now. I know, by the way, before this, the end of the show here, you're going to hear from Jack Nicklaus talking about Scotty. A wild, and I mean accurate, but you don't expect to hear from the Golden Bear. We'll tell you what that is later on the show. But when we come back, Jensen, let's get back to it. The Pacers, Thunder, Panthers, Oilers. Will we have great series in the NHL and the Stanley Cup Finals? We'll discuss that next. Here, it's VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here at Circus Sports Fabrics, Las Vegas, Nevada. Catch up with Jensen Lewis here in just a couple seconds. Back down in Georgia as he gets ready to go back to Cleveland. A wild weekend for college World Series action. Everybody trying to get to that World Series and the Super Regionals. We'll get to all that as well. We did have some wildness out here in the desert on Saturday night with UFC Vegas 107. And that was Aaron Blanchfield against Macy Barber. That was the main event come Saturday night. But something you have not seen very often, and again, we've seen fights obviously canceled last second. We have not seen fights canceled, main events canceled, as the introductions for the fighters and the walk to the octagon was set to begin. That happened live TV, ESPN on Saturday night. Macy Barber suffered a medical emergency, something we talked about on Friday with Lou Finocchiaro, something we talk about a lot in this gambling space. And I know Jensen Lewis is back with us now. And Jensen, I'm almost getting to the point now of not making wagers in the UFC until we get to those weigh-ins. Now, look, you're not going to get ahead of some of these numbers, and that's why we do the exercise to try to find you these numbers early in the week. We'll talk about it all week here. UFC 316 is coming up Saturday night in Newark, New Jersey this week. But we saw how bad of a weight cut it was for Macy Barber. She missed weight, did not look good on the scale, obviously, did not look good in the stare down. And I was commenting on it on social media. I'm like, she does not look good. And then right before you get to that ring entrance on Saturday night, she apparently suffered a seizure of some sort, could not go, fight canceled. Aaron Blanchfield, by the way, did get paid by the organization, her show money, if you will, for being there doing what she was supposed to do, and then that fight was immediately canceled. Look, this is different than the most sports here, Jensen, but it does get us to a lot of what Lou looks for on those Fridays when you watch the weigh-ins. Unlike other sports, you can gauge physically how bad and or good some of these fighters look on the scale.
Yeah, and again, that's why Lou usually tells us, hey, you know, these are times where that man ends up becoming so imperative to the handicap, let alone.
Yep, and Jensen, we'll get that connection cleared up there again. But that is you can wager on these fights early in the week if you want. This is kind of the point here, right? But remember, until you see these fighters on the scale, and this will be Merab Dvalishvili going to defend his crown against Sugar Sean O'Malley this weekend coming up. We got two title bouts, Kayla Harrison against Juliana Pena as well. You kind of want to see how the fighters look. So, again, numbers adjust accordingly. I would just say take caution if you're fighting these betting these fighters early, because I was leaning towards Macy Barber all week, did not get there. And then when I saw how bad she looked in the scale, I did go to the Aaron Blanchfield side. Of course, no fight happens. All those tickets do get refunded. We've got game one coming up on Thursday night between Indiana and OKC. And the thing that does surprise me a little bit, and again, our experts on every show this week, we're going to be breaking down this series pillar to post, not just game one. I am a little bit surprised that it feels like the public sentiment to me is that everybody wants to wager OKC in maybe five or less, i.e. a sweep and or five games. Jensen, I believe we have you back now via phone here down there in Georgia. Are you surprised that it feels like public sentiment? Not to say that Indiana is getting no chance, but I don't feel like our experts here in the network so far are finding a pathway to victory for Indiana.
No, I think that's probably the case, too, is, you know, just when you think about where that series price was initially at 750 when it came out, you're like, well, I mean, come on. I mean, this is going to be kind of that gentleman sweep we usually talk about. But, you know, to me, in my mind, with the momentum that you have coming off such a win against the Knicks and the fashion that you did it, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, there's a little bit of an emotional letdown there and the Thunder do what they've been doing at home. But I think ultimately we have kind of taken the Pacers for granted, you know, most of this postseason. What have they done? All they've done is just proven everyone wrong. So going to be anxious to kind of see once we get towards, you know, Wednesday afternoon and see if there's some later money that are maybe coming in on a spread, maybe the total, and anxious to see if that series price even grows further if the public continues to pile on the Thunder.
The way I look at it, too, and right now, as you mentioned that series price here, you can the comeback on the Pacers is 5-1 to win this series outright. And look, I'm not saying the Pacers are going to win this series, but the price point is interesting. I would suggest if you think the game one's going to go the way the market indicates it's going to go, with the Thunder being 9-point favorites, that you just wait on Indiana. See how game one looks. Because sometimes, even in defeat, you can say, they can play with these guys. And I wonder if that will be the sentiment after Thursday night's game one. So again, many other ways that you can get to this thing. If you really think it's going to be a sweep either way, it's plus 240. You can obviously get a better price at plus 260 if you think that's going to be OKC getting the sweep. Indiana getting a sweep? Come on. 45-1, that's the number there. But if you think it's going to be five games, exacta, it's plus 230. Six games. If you really think that Indiana is live here to win at least two, you can get to that six-game market at plus $3. Seven-game series is plus 350. Jensen, I'm not convinced. I do feel like the series is overpriced. Let me state it like that. I do feel like Indiana is not getting their just desserts. You mentioned coming off the emotional high of beating the Knicks, right? And maybe the Knicks suffered that after celebrating after beating Boston, thinking, all right, we're now in the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, you're not. You got there, but you didn't get to the NBA Final. I don't know that there's going to be a letdown for Indiana in this one because of their depth. We saw it on display, right? If Halliburton's not going, they will go to the backup guards. They'll bring in, you know, the entire B team. I mean, they run you kind of 10 deep. OKC, it does look like they're looking in a mirror, and maybe they're just a little bit better at what Indiana does. But I think the depth is going to be more problematic for OKC than people think. Am I reaching too much to find a way that Indiana can at least stay in the series?
Not at all. And I think that's the beauty of where, you know, the season has been for not only, you know, Indiana overcoming maybe what a Cleveland Cavalier team could put at them. And we thought about that depth for the Cavaliers being something that would just overwhelm the Pacers. And what did they do? It was just a street fight. They just hit them in the mouth. They out-physicaled them.
Yep.
And I think that's the other element of Indiana where in that locker room, they probably are like, we've been on house money for about 4 weeks. You know, people have just doubted us left, right, center. So why not just take the fight to them? It's one of our favorite phrases to use here.
Yes.
And I think it is kind of that mentality that Indiana has embodied now. Like every round they win, they get stronger. Every time they overcome an obstacle, it feels like, okay, we're more emboldened. I'd have a little trepidation if I'm the Thunder early, okay, because you've got a team coming in with supreme confidence. They know that they've slayed a couple of the big beasts in the Eastern Conference. And, again, we go back to that Denver series. Oklahoma City has shown a little bit of, you know, some weakness. And, again, you know, I've said ending to two of those games, we may have a completely different looking outcome to the Western Conference.
I could not agree more. And again, that's what you and I always like to talk about in the, you know, in our wagers, like get in the fight. Like I would really be surprised if Indiana's not in the fight. And I know it's probably going to be a lot of popular consensus that this series is under six games, that you're looking at a gentleman sweep either in five and or an all out sweep in four. I don't see it that way. I don't. But again, do I think Indiana can get all the way home and win this series? I do think that is a bit of a long shot. I just don't know if it should be a 5-1 long shot. That's where I am sitting here on a Monday. And again, the total right now in game number one is sitting at 230.5. So we are expecting a lot of points. That's a rather high total here for game one. The spread side here, you're looking at -$1.10. It's OKC 9-point favorites here. Money line prices, you got to weigh 380 on OKC in game one. Don't know that I'd be willing to do that just to see until how they actually match up and what those matchups are going to look like to try to slow down Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as well. How do you slow down Connor McDavid if you're Florida? You did it, I guess, effectively as a 7-game series from a year ago could be in the Stanley Cup final. Remember, Florida was up 3-0 in the series. It was all but over. Edmonton fought all the way back to force that game seven. Couldn't get it done in Sunrise. Now, home ice is shifted. This will begin Wednesday night at the Rogers Place up north of the border. What do you make of game one? Because remember, it's pretty evenly aligned here for the series price, but the money line price in game one leans towards Edmonton at -$1.24.
All right, you know I'm a sucker for a puck line every time, right? Give me the Oilers. Puck line +185 in pocket. Let's not mess around here. And I think one of the overall themes you and I looked at through this postseason was when Edmonton was down 2-0 way back when.
Yes.
And we said, all right, if there was any time to jump on them, this is the time to do it. You talk about a team with a full head of steam. That, to me, is Edmonton right now. And so I don't want to get out of the way of that freight train. I think they do have just a resounding performance there. Anxious to see, though, where that money line prices, period, when we get there on Wednesday. But, yeah, I do think this is now Connor McDavid's Stanley Cup to shine. And he doesn't want the Conn Smythe in a losing effort. He wants the cup. He wants the Conn Smythe. He wants the glory. And this is that time now for Stuart Skinner. Guess what? Game four needs to be game one, pal. Let's do that. Let's just start the dominance from the beginning of the Stanley Cup final, and all will end the way that Edmonton wants it to.
I still can't believe when they were down 0-2 to the Kings, you could have got Edmonton to win that series at almost 6-1. Ah, it was insane numbers. Of course, I did not hop on those. When we come back, gents, we're going to get to our Daily Diamond. That is next year. VSIN by the books.
You're tuned in to VSIN by the books right here on VSIN.
We continue VSIN by the books on this Monday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here coming at you. Going to talk some baseball here in just 1 second. But, Jensen, we're going to break down the Motor City Kitties in the next segment, Detroit Lions. You can almost, I don't want to say you can feel it coming, but, you know, now we're in the NBA Finals. Now we're in the Stanley Cup Finals. And that means we're getting oh so close to the start of the NFL football season. I saw people out there tweeting, is it football season yet? It's getting there, people. If you want to bet it smarter, this year, you have to become a VSiN Pro subscriber now. And I'm not saying that just because this is the company we work for. If you get it now for a full year, it's just $199. Plus, how about this? A free pre-order of the NFL's Sharp Betting Playbook by our own Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now, and when you do, you get that daily email from Bill Ady, all the best bets from the host and the guests, from every show, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-2026 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st, so don't miss out. All of this is yours right now. $41 off by using the promo code BOOK when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Cannot wait for that. Congratulations to Josh for putting all of that together as well. But let's get to it, gents. So without further ado, our edition of today's Daily Diamond. You know, we're looking at this thing now as we have now entered June. We'll get to what happened in May, what we think might happen in June. And you really can start to look, I don't want to say it crystallizes here for the wild card races in our divisions, because we have seen teams come from, you know, in a horse racing terminology all the way, you know, down the stretch they come, and some horses coming back from the pack that you don't see. But Jensen, when you look at the American League, at least right now, how is that wild card picture shaping up for you?
Yeah, and fascinating, right? And if you think about where the first couple months of the season were and who got off to great starts, okay, the Yankees were one team. I know we've talked about them already, that our questions were, what was the lineup going to look like? They've answered that question. They've also answered kind of that starting rotation injury question without Gerrit Cole, without Luis Gil. Max Fried has been amazing. Carlos Rodon has been awesome. Back into their bullpen has really been the only thing in flux, at least early, because of Devin Williams and his struggles. But Luke Weaver has filled in seamlessly, just like he did last year. So if we stay in the American League, so let's start there. You and I looked at the Boston Red Sox, and we thought, okay, if there's going to be a team that really challenges for the top spot, it would be Boston. Yikes. It has not really gone the way that I think they had anticipated. And so that is going to be a question for Craig Breslow and company there. Do they need to make significant moves? And a lot of it has just been predicated off of the amount of injuries that they've sustained. Mm-hmm. And the Bregman one was so big that, okay, now what do you do? How do you rebound from that? If we take a look at the current standings right now, here's what I'm intrigued with. And we talked the last couple of weeks about a few teams. First of all, the Twins. Okay, and we gave them out, if you wanted to take a stab, to win the American League at 20-1. Right now, if the playoffs started today, they'd be in. The Astros, plus money to make the playoffs, not to win the division, plus money to make the playoffs just a couple of weeks ago. They're now in the field if the field was set today. I think if you look at the teams on the outside looking in, I would still circle the Rangers. I think the Rays have been one of those fascinating, really, really hot teams as of late. The Royals just calling up Jack Caglione is going to be a huge boost to an offense that sorely needs it. And then the Blue Jays, right? The Blue Jays are such an enigma because they've got the horses, man. They've got the arms to be able to stay in it. Do they have enough offense, and will they go outside the organization to be able to reinforce that? What a fascinating field here so far, Dave. You have seven teams basically within four games of each other for those three playoff spots.
Right now, the Blue Jays, north of the border, the hottest team in the American League. They've won five in a row, as you mentioned, to get three games over 500. Only a half game out right now of the wild card race behind the Guardians and the Astros that would own the two top spots, and the Twins right there would have the third. I'm fascinated. By the way, the Jack Caglione, bringing him up for Kansas City, and obviously it's something you and I talked about last week. What are you waiting on? It was obviously that service time, so you get that. That's what the team wanted, that extra year of control. How many 1-0 games can you play if you're Kansas City, right? And you win one the other day, you lose one yesterday. Every game felt like it was 1-0 there for the Royals. You're getting the good starting pitching. You just don't have enough with that lineup. With Kansas City in mind here, a game back right now in that wild card, and I know right now the Tigers, the way they're playing, everybody else in the Central that's playing good baseball, the Guardians are 6 back, the Twins are 7 back, the Royals are 8 back. Can it just be Jack Cags, or do the Royals have to get more before the deadline if we're really going to take them seriously, at least from an offensive perspective?
That's a fascinating query at this point here, Dave, because we are just 2 months and change, you know, into the season. And this is also a part of the year where we get that first deep dive from clubs individually, looking at what they feel their strengths are, what they want to identify as weaknesses. And then it's a broader look at the competition of, okay, who do we anticipate we may have to go up against? And that's why I think the American League is still a crapshoot. It's still so even across the board, even with the Tigers being out to the start that they are, the Yankees being ahead by as many games as they are in the American League East. Something tells me here that, let's just say that the Yankees and the Tigers right now, you're 1 and 2 seed. There are teams there, and that's why I circled the Rangers and the Twins when I did. There are teams that have the pitching already to be able to neutralize those lineups. Because it's not like Detroit is a juggernaut lineup. When you think about just the names there, and especially the back half, 6, 7, 8, 9, like, Dave, that's not scaring anybody, okay? Right. And I'm just being frank. Like, you get into October, you need plenty of power and you need plenty of length, and Detroit doesn't have that in spades yet. The only teams that really do are the Boston Red Sox and the Texas Rangers when they're fully healthy. Now, that's the ultimate question. Can they get fully healthy? And if they do that, those are the two deepest lineups, in my opinion, that are currently constructed in the American League. All that being said, I would think that the Rays will probably be active if they're in it, just because they know how to kind of tweak things left and right. I would say that the Royals would probably need a bit more health, not only from the rotation, but maybe another bat outside. Let's say that Cags comes in and is just amazing. Probably need just another bat to lengthen that lineup enough. But ultimately, I think you can make an argument, Dave, for 4, maybe 5 teams by the time you and I get to the All-Star break and we talk about the home run derby. There's going to be, I think, teams very much in that buy and sell mode, just anxious to see what those teams are, especially in the junior circuit.
Okay, I'm just too tired of these books being too sharp, Jensen. So here's what I'm getting at. So those conversations we just had about with the Tigers, with this big lead that they have in the wild card race. So if you want to hop on Kansas City with Jack Cags coming up, maybe make one more move, and they'll be right there. They're going to somehow get in this race here to win the Central. We can get 14-1 on Kansas City right now to win the division. But you and I know, and the books already know, that really the better number to play would be to win the pennant. That if they're going to be at least a wild card team, the likelihood of winning the division could actually, I don't want to say it's worse, but you can get 19-1 for the Royals right now to win the pennant. Same type of process here for the Twins, right? So the Twins, and right now, let me take a look at how many games they are back. They are only 7 back right now in third place here in that division. You can get them 9-1 to win the pennant, and you get them 6-1 to win the division. The books aren't giving you any breaks, right? They're looking at this and going, all right, you can play the 14-1 in Kansas City, but we'll give you 19-1. Would you rather play the LCS odds versus the divisional odds? Not forfeiting it to Detroit here, but it does feel like that might actually be the longer of the long shots.
I agree. And the way to play the American League this year, Dave, is LCS. It's league championship odds. That's the way to do it. If you're going to try and get some significant ROI, and maybe even the smarter ROI, because you're not going to be able to play the Yankees right now at that number. You know, the Tigers are a bit inflated just knowing the early success. And I do think they're going to hit a rough patch at some point. The pitching has been phenomenal. Every team goes through one of those stretches, Dave. And that's why I kind of have that moment of pause right now with that Yankees, you know, price at 550. So, again, this is that one caveat of time where you can look farther down the board into the 20s, you know, maybe into the mid-20s, and still feel that you're going to get a great number on a team that might be, mediocre is not the right word, might just be kind of treading water at this point, and then all of a sudden hits a run, and you want to be that guy or that lady that has that number in pocket and say, okay, I feel so much better that I took a chance on this, and if nothing else, the opportunity to hedge all along the way.
22-1 for the Rangers. I'm picking up what you're putting down there for a team that maybe hadn't hit its stride just yet. ProfitX, if you haven't checked them out here, we got the NBA Finals, we got the Stanley Cup Finals here. ProfitX is going to help you get the best numbers all playoff season long. They're a peer-to-peer sports exchange group available in 40 or more states, first of its kind here in the country. Exchange guarantee you the best odds on average of 10-20%. So download ProfitX today. Use the code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your very first month.
weekend of VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, here in this Monday morning edition. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here coming at you. And Jensen, when I look at the upcoming NFL season, you know there's a couple tickets I already have in pocket from already now months ago, right? That right when the numbers came out, I thought, ooh, I'm going to jump at this and see where these numbers go. One of those teams, it is the Motor City Kitties. It's the Detroit Lions up there in Detroit, Michigan. Now, look at their win total this year. It's down to 10.5. The reason why that catches my eye, and even money, minus $1.10 either way. I feel like this is a slap in the face to Lions backers out there. Jensen, this team won 15 games a year ago. 15! And all of a sudden, they're down to 10.5, and you go, all right, I get it. Ben Johnson's not walking through that door. If you are Dan Campbell, are you sitting there going, do you know who brought in Ben Johnson? That'd be me. Do you know who helped put this thing together? Like, that would be us here that's still in the building. And I know they had a ton of injuries defensively, and yet Aaron Glenn's not walking through that door. He's the head coach now with the Jets. I feel like this number reflects a lack of confidence in Dan Campbell, and that maybe the books are telling you it was more about the coordinators and not the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, anxious to find out too. I can't lie. I have some intrigue as well, Dave, and just out of the chute here, you know, knowing that you have two critical division opponents, we're going to learn quite quickly, you know, the nuance and what teams really figured out and what they've been able to expose where Ben Johnson doesn't have the answer key. So that in and of itself, one of the fascinating storylines here at the beginning of the season for the Detroit Lions. Oh, by the way, how about you run through the gauntlet too then of the AFC North with the Baltimore Ravens in week 3, and then you get the Bengals in week 5. Yes, I conveniently skipped my Cleveland Browns in week 4 because we're not worried about that game for Detroit. Okay, so survivor hat, right?
Yep.
We would assume that Detroit would be a popular pick there. However, if you're playing Circus Survivor, remember, you might have to save Detroit for Thanksgiving week.
Yes.
And we all know about the trepidation of that. Guess what? You might have to save them for Christmas. A lot of trepidation in that with the Vikings in that matchup. So to each their own, I think this is going to be one of those really crazy schedules where if they do get off to another fast start, then all of a sudden, and by the way, if they go in, you know, and just hand, you know, Ben Johnson his lunch, his dinner, and everything else in week 2, Dan Campbell going to be coming to the podium, you know, just chest out.
Puffing
and everything.
That chest out.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think I would say if I'm looking at Survivor, would you rather play them if you had to save them for one of the holiday weeks? I'm assuming you'd want to play him at home against the Packers rather than the road and the Vikings on Christmas week.
Yeah. Now, I remember just 2 years ago, Jordan Love and company, remember they were really on a downstretch. The Packers were, and they went to Detroit on Thanksgiving and whoosh, I mean, slapped them around pretty good. And that really was the impetus for a Packers playoff run 2 years ago, right? When they kind of came of age right before our eyes, it was that Thanksgiving Day game. So yes, like, we're trying to win $15 million, people, right? That's what Circus Survivor is all about. We know that's the guarantee this year for Derek. So if you're out there, you're going, that might be the risk I have to take, is wait on Detroit for one of those two holiday games. Now, look, do you want to take them on the road Christmas Day against Minnesota? If you're still kicking in Week 17, Jensen, that might be your only alternative that you have at that point if you're navigating a season. And if you get to Week 17 – and Detroit's still on the option board for you, you've done quite well in Circus Survivor. You might be looking at a cut at that point if people are going to be, you know, how many teams are still left. But the point of week 4 that you alluded to against Cleveland is interesting because they do seem to tend to have one egg that they lay early in the year at home. And it's, you know, the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are a good football team, right? They came, but they beat them pretty good when they came into Detroit. Now, I don't think Cleveland can do that. So I feel you would be safe if you really wanted to use that, you know, bullet in the chamber, if you will, for Cleveland on week 4. I get that. I understand that mentality. Like, I just want to take the quote-unquote sure shot. Just remember, they have had some eggs that they lay. It feels like they get up for everybody. When you go 15-2, you get up for everybody. And with the injuries they had defensively, that's even more impressive. But it almost feels like, Jensen, they're not getting the credit for last year, because not only were they banged up and Hutch went out early, and we saw that they really couldn't generate much of a pass rush, and they tried to piecemeal things together before the trade deadline. They did everything they could do, from Brad Holmes in the front office to Dan Campbell and that coaching staff. I thought they did a great job of getting to 15-2. But because they got beat pretty badly by the Commanders in their first game coming off a bye in the postseason, I feel like it's the forest, the tree falling in the forest, and nobody heard it. Do people even recognize this team as a 15-win team a year ago? Because I think the numbers are indicating, at even money either way on 10.5 win total, that it did not resonate with the general public, that this is not as good a team that the math showed a year ago.
You're right, and you hit on the other part that I think we're all intrigued about, is what if that defense avoided some of the catastrophic injuries from last year? I'm not saying that they could have run the table, but it would have been a hell of a lot better of an opportunity to do that. And I also think of the psyche week in and week out of those offense. Like, that's a completely different preparation for when you have to be ready for Aiden Hutchinson and that healthy secondary. Like, there is a lot of weeks there where some offenses go up against a beleaguered Lions secondary that you think, if these guys were close to full strength, this is a whole different story. So, I mean, I'm with you. I think I'm probably, if you ask me to pick a side, I'm probably more intrigued by the defensive recourse from getting healthy again and what that unit at full strength or close to it could look like, versus plenty of offensive weaponry. You and I could come in and be an offensive coordinator, and we could probably piece it together for a day. But, I mean, you know, if you're looking for an area of where they didn't need a lot of help, you know, the offense has plenty of weapons. So I think the defense is what I'm most intrigued about with that.
That defensive coordinator is going to be Kelvin Shepard. He is the guy that's going to take over for Aaron Glenn, who's now, as I mentioned, with the Jets. We mentioned Ben Johnson week two is now the head coach in Chicago. Johnny Morton is now the new offensive coordinator. I'm looking down the staff a little bit. They have promoted some other guys internally. Scotty Montgomery is the assistant head coach. Mark Brunell, if you remember him, Hard Knocks. And, of course, I covered Mark back in his D.C. days as a quarterback. He's now the QB coach. Hank Fraley is now the offensive line coach. So it's an interesting staff. And, again, that, you know, sometimes I know people are going to make the comparison of Nick Sirianni when they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Chiefs and then lost his coordinators, and it did not look the same. Remember, it did not look great early on, and they had to move those guys out, and it took them a year to recover, and then you get the Vic Fangios in, you brought in Kellen Moore, and you go on to win the Super Bowl last year. I don't know that this will be you would think it would be a drop-off, and no disrespect to Johnny Morton and Kelvin Shepard, but there is a reason why Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are now head coaches. I guess the question, Jensen, is how big is that drop-off? Because I don't know if it's a 5-game drop-off, and that's what it would mean for the under to hit for 10.5 wins.
Yeah, I mean, this screams kind of alternate over total, right? Yep. If you think they can at least get back to 12, if not 13, and, you know, a lot of that probably predicated. This is probably a great spot to look live in their schedule. If there is, you know, maybe a 1-2 start there in the first three games. They get back on the right side against the Browns. They win a big game on the road in Cincinnati before those back-to-back primetime games. So, yeah, I think this is a club, and kind of to where your idea is that, boy, 3.5, 4.5 wins, that seems like a pretty wide margin.
Yeah.
It's a pretty healthy middle there if you want to try an alternate total as well.
I would just say this, too. If you remember last year, Dan Campbell, it's the Bill Belichick no days off mantra, right? They didn't have anything to play for in that game against the Niners before their big final against the Vikings with everything to play for. They played all their guys. They played all their guys. So if you're backing that win total over, just know this. You're going to get maximum effort every time out from that Lions squad. They're not tanking any games here, people. I'd rather be on the over 10.5 than that under at even money, that's for sure. VSiN fans, we appreciate you watching and listening wherever you are. How would you like to play Circus Survivor? Again, $15 million guarantee or the Millions Contest for free this season for your entry? Well, Winner's Circle Proxy is going to give away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, plus full proxy service. Get this. You're going to be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win. Just visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. Which host would you want? Would you want Jensen? Would you want me? Could you get both of us? I don't know how that works, Jensen. We'll have to figure out how that goes. When we come back to begin hour number two, much more to get to, and then a big lineup in hour number three. We're going to have three guests, Will Hill, Rachel Dorey, and we're going to have Danny Kloppinger. Come on back. It's VSiN by the Books.